Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Hey everybody, Rod Peterson here. NFL season has kicked off and it's time you join the action. Come on down to Houston with Darren DuPont and me on the inaugural Rod Peterson Show VIP sports trip with Uniglobe Travel. We'll catch the Houston Texans and Denver Broncos at Energy Stadium, plus your choice of NBA games with the Houston Rockets home to the Phoenix Suns and Sacramento Kings. And if you're a real football fan, you'll want to join us for Texas State High School playoff action. All this, plus live Rod Peterson shows with Dupes and me. Are you sold yet? For more info or to book now, visit rodpeterson.com/trip.
From Vancouver to Halifax, Flin Flon to Estevan, he's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. And Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. On this Wednesday, October the 2nd, it is episode number 86. We're coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada. And this is the warm-up. I'm Rod Peterson, and I'm the host. He's Darren DuPont. He's the co-host. So if I'm Hall, he's Oates.
Making my dreams come true.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. We are in flight. Very busy show today. The warm-up will not go for probably as long as normal because, as someone just pointed out, we got a full house here. Sponsors' couch is full. We got a bevy of guests coming through the bunker. Things are good. Business is good. On the program today, Derek Myers, the Duke. Also, the sports doctor is here in-house.
Whoa.
Sports doctor is in the house. He has yet to, I haven't seen him smile yet since he walked in here this morning.
There it is.
We got him. Also, Paul Hendrick will be here on opening night from Leafs TV, as the Leafs are home to the Senators tonight, one of four NHL games. I did not realize it was Rep Your Team Day here. Clark's got his Leafs jersey on. Myers has his Vegas Golden Knights jersey on. They're home to the Sharks tonight. If I'd known, I would have worn my Oilers shirt. It is still Rep Your Team Day. That's why I have this Pats pullover on. But John Paddock will be in here tomorrow, and I didn't want to suck up to him too much tomorrow, so I wore it today.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's good. Play it cool.
Right. What we do is we have morning coffee here every day, and we talk about the topics in the land. And so from the sports break wire, the Washington Nationals scored three runs with two out in the bottom of the eighth inning as they rallied to beat Milwaukee 4-3 in the NL wildcard game last night. The Nationals will next face the LA Dodgers in the NLDS. Game one Thursday at LA. Still a best of five, right?
Yep.
I will from now on be referring to the Washington Nationals as the Montreal Expos throughout the World Series playoffs.
Go Expos.
Okay? Go Expos. Wait, this is our year. Also, the Oakland A's have named Sean Manaea their starter for tonight's American League wildcard game against Tampa Bay. The 27-year-old Manaea went 4-0 with a 1.21 ERA through five starts for the A's this season. So this is the time of year that I watch baseball. I would lose my mind when people said, I follow hockey in the playoffs or I follow football in the playoffs. Yeah. What do you mean? You don't watch the regular season? Well, that's me with baseball. Right. So, yeah. And actually, the analyst on Sportsnet, whoever's on with Jamie Campbell, can't remember the guy's name. He said every pitch is critical. That's what makes it interesting. So, yeah, I'm in. I'm down. And so that's what's going on with baseball. Now, the other thing. What do I have here? Four games in the NHL. Obviously, I want to get people's Stanley Cup pick.
Okay.
Viewers on the Prairie Mobile text line, let me know who you think will be in the Stanley Cup final. Last year, I had San Jose, Tampa, and was completely out to lunch on that. Do you remember who it was?
But you weren't.
It was St. Louis, Boston.
Yeah.
Nobody had that.
It wasn't. You weren't that out to lunch, though, with San Jose and Tampa.
Well, as it turned out, I was.
You had two of the top teams in the NHL. You were right. And it's so hard to pick that. I mean, we kind of know who's going to be good. But would anybody have picked Calgary to win the West last year? Probably not. San Jose is my Western team. I love San Jose. I've been a big fan of the Sharks for a little while. And I hope they do well again. I think they will. I don't know if I have a pick yet. I'm going
to
need some time.
I want you to think about it.
I am.
I'm going with Tampa Bay, Vegas, Tampa Bay, Vegas. That's my pick. Write it down. And I want yours on the Facebook wall and the Pray Mobile text line. We'll get the sports doctors, we'll get Dukes, and whoever else wants to chime in. There was a poll published this morning on The Athletic for the first coaches to be fired in the NHL this year.
Okay.
Want to take a stab at who number one might be?
Babcock was on there.
Paul Maurice of the Winnipeg Jets was number one. Paul Maurice will be fired first, according to the writers at The Athletic. Next, Bruce Boudreau. Which is odd because some of the same writers picked Minnesota's going to win the Western Conference. So is that like after they make a coaching change?
Maybe.
Jeff Blashill of Detroit was the third leader to be fired first, and then Babs, as you said. So we'll all be watching that.
I've got one half of my Stanley Cup picks. I'm saving it.
Okay.
But I got a half already.
Well, when we go off the air for warm-up, you'll have to give it, okay?
Yeah.
I am loving the fire on this Simone Lawrence thing that came up yesterday. I'm loving it. And it took a day or so, but Simone's joined the fray. And I said that he is a thuggish type repeat offender, and he shouldn't be named player of the week. He should be suspended for the year because he is a repeat offender. I don't need to go through the rant that I had yesterday, although 37,000 impressions of the tweet where I said this is embarrassing for the CFL. So clearly there was some play on it. What I really love about this show is the comments that are coming from places like Edmonton and Hamilton and Ottawa. They're like, who is this clown? Who is this idiot ranting and raving? That's awesome. Or in Edmonton on the Lou Cheech thing, people are like, who is this guy? I love him. I'm following you now.
Yeah.
So I'm not fighting with people from Saskatoon and Melfort anymore. It's all countrywide. I can handle, like I said, hey, you don't have to agree with me. You don't even have to like me. Just watch me, please. And clearly Simone Lawrence is now, and he's upset that I called him a thug. Actually, some Ticats fans were upset that I called him a thug. And he said that I might as well have called him the N-word. Did you see that this morning? It was either this morning or last night that he tweeted that. And I just laughed at that. And I'll tell you why I said it. Because in August, I was watching a CFL game out of Hamilton. It was a live mic game. And Simone was mic'd. And he wasn't saying anything. And at halftime, Matthew Schenetti said to him, how come you're not saying anything, Simone? And he says, everybody knows you don't talk to the police. And then turned and ran away. And everybody had a big old laugh about it. So if you want to act, yo, 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 F the police, like you're straight out of Hamilton, then go ahead. But don't cry foul when somebody calls you out on it. And to say that this, to bring racism into it, is a cheap shot.
Yeah.
But that's what you do. So stop with that, and I'm not backing off. As a matter of fact, we have the definition, the urban definition.
Oxford Dictionary.
Oxford Dictionary of a thug. Clark, do you want to pull that up? Thug. A violent person, especially a criminal, he was attacked by a group of thugs. Nowhere in there does it bring race into it. Or nationality or anything like that. As a matter of fact, the first time I think I've ever heard the term thug was when I was a child, referring to New York Mafia and the Bonino family and the Gottis and all that. It's nothing to do with race. So to bring up the N-word is trash. And as far as the way he's acted and been a repeat offender, truth hurts. That's my take on the Simone Lawrence situation. I don't think it's going away, but I also do think if you keep targeting quarterbacks, especially for the rest of this season, I think the next time he does it, he will be banished for the season. I will predict that right now.
Yeah.
Would it surprise you?
No. For him to be suspended for a season the rest of the year? No, it wouldn't surprise me. It's just, like it was mentioned by Taylor Shire on this show yesterday, there's a protocol in place when it comes to drug offenses and taking performance-enhancing drugs. First is 2 games, then it's 4 games, then it's a season. And so when it comes to trying to protect the quarterbacks, I think we're just looking for some sort of consistency in the ruling, and we want to continue to increase the punishment so these things can be taken out of the game. Not, okay, it's suspended 2 games, and then the next time it's just a fine. It should be 2 games, 4 games a season, or 2 games and then straight to a season, or whatever the league deems appropriate. But right now, it seems like there's no policy in place And so he's allowed to play and continue playing and continue to take these hits on quarterbacks. And it hurts the game. It hurts ratings. It hurts the teams. The fan bases aren't showing up when there's not star players, when there's not quarterbacks. We've seen it. And, yeah, you just want the league to step in and create some sort of a policy. That's what I'd like to see. So you know exactly what you're getting every time it happens.
Or do like Roger Goodell and just say, screw this. He's gone for the year, like Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah.
Who saw that coming? Just enough's enough,
right?
From the commissioner of the NFL. So some thoughts on that. The winner of yesterday's daily poll, if the winner is the proper term for that, for who is the coach of the year so far in the CFL, and the reason I have my phone here is because I'm pulling up the results of today's poll, but the respondents yesterday from the Twitter poll is who is the coach of the year so far in the CFL? Craig Dickinson with 47% of the vote, coach of the year. 44% of respondents went with Kahari Jones. This is a two-horse race, really,
yeah,
to the end.
Well, for me, it's a three-horse race. You bring Orlando Steinhauer.
Well, according to the poll respondents, the poll, 8%.
For sure.
He was a distant third.
I don't think they like us a lot in Hamilton right now, so we're not going to get a lot
of I don't
of
plan on going to Hamilton anytime soon, so Hamilton. That's fine.
Probably a good idea. But when you think of those three guys and what they've been able to do, first of all, Kahari Jones coming in and taking over the mess that is Montreal completely. And it is a mess. It was a mess, I mean. Not is, it was. I mean, that's just amazing what he's been able to do. And of course, he comes top of mind because of the expectations. But when you look at Craig Dickinson and Orlando Steinhauer, both lost their starting quarterbacks. For Craig Dickinson, everything hinged on Zach Collaros. And if you go back to our comments back in June, it was Zach or nothing. And three plays in, he goes down. And Craig has not only been able to keep the ship above water, he's been able to make him a first-place team in the West, which is insane. And even more significant for Hamilton and Orlando Steinhauer, you lost maybe the MOP of the league, and you're still able to be number one in the CFL. So it's amazing what all three coaches have been able to do, and the people who vote. If those three aren't the finalists, I don't know what they're going to do on the voting panel. It's going to be crazy.
Well, and to today's poll for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center, is Simone Lawrence a dirty player or not? Please comment why or why not. 92% of respondents saying, yes, he is a dirty player. 8% of you saying, no, you've got 20-ish hours left to vote on that. But I'm not backing down on my comments on Simone Lawrence. Ask Zach Collaros. Ask Logan Kilgore. Ask Henry Burris. So you may or may not agree with me. I don't care. This is how I feel about it. Now, in the time we have left in the warm-up, because we're not going to see you till overtime.
Yeah.
A couple things. One, Great Western Slow Pitch League opened last night.
Yeah.
And the Rod Peterson Show was balling.
Oh, 1-0.
And ballers were 1-0. What was the final score, Tyler? 20-16 we won.
We didn't bat either in our last bat.
Clark, with the stats here, the top teams, the Salty Dusters, that's who we played. There we are, Darren DuPont, Rod Peterson, Clark Monroe, Mike Abumrad, and Tyler Gross.
Look at that.
I don't think anybody cares about the stats but us. Let's never do that again. Let's move on.
Come on, Rod. You were 7 of 10 in the batter's box.
There is the team photo. Tyler Gross, our sales manager. Gross, Tyler. DuPont in the middle in the back. Producer Clark. Mike Abumrad, who brought the power. And me, who brought the green. What else do we have here? Anything else? Is that it? Okay, that's it. Works for me. So we expect to win every time we take to the field. We expect to win every time we go to air. And we're winning. And do you have a take on the Stanley Cup Finals participants? Again, Tampa Bay, Vegas are mine.
Yeah, I needed somebody in the West. You know what? I think San Jose will get back there. I'm going to pick the Sharks. But I'm going to go right off the board in the East. You never bet on your team, so I'll never touch Toronto when it comes to these things. But I'm going to say the Florida Panthers.
Well, funny you say that.
I'm going to go with the Florida Panthers.
Because Joel Quenneville has picked to be the coach of the year.
They have,
by the reporters from The Athletic.
They have a lot of talent on that roster. Now they've got goaltending with Sergei Bobrovsky. I think the Florida Panthers will be in the Stanley Cup final.
Fun to watch.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Since the days of John Van Beesbrook.
Beezer!
When they were in there last.
The Rats!
Yeah.
Rod Brind'Amour.
That was fun.
It was Scott Mellamy, wasn't it?
Scott Mellamy.
Yeah. Not Brind'Amour. Not Brindy. A lot of Dallas love on the Facebook feed for people writing in on their Stanley Cup finals picks. Throughout the program, let us know yours. Prairie Mobile text line 840-8777. That's 306-840-8777. It's episode 86. I couldn't come up with too many 86s. Hines Ward being one. Steelers fans would know that. And from the National Hockey League, Wojtek Wolski.
Very good. Very good. I haven't thought about
not
it
even,
at all.
Not even a household name in his own house.
No, well.
We'll see you in overtime.
All right.
The Sports Doctor and the Duke coming in next. This has been the warm-up on the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Wednesday morning. To the sports update we go. The Washington Nationals are heading to L.A. after rallying past the Milwaukee Brewers 4-3 in the NL wildcard game. Juan Soto delivered a bases-loaded single against closer Josh Hader that scored 3 runs in the eighth. The best-of-five divisional series against L.A. starts tomorrow. So that's the former Montreal Expos for you kids out there. When they move, fellas, 04? It's been 15 years they've been gone?
I think so.
Well, it'll be the Expos. That's what we'll be called. Expos Dodgers in the NLDS. SJ last night, Battleford's North Stars suffered their first loss at the hands of the Yorkton Terriers 6-2. Also, LaRange won 4-3 in overtime over Melfort, and Weyburn fell 3-2 against the Notre Dame Hounds. The Saskatoon Blades with a surprise start to the season in the WHL with a 2-1 loss against Red Deer last night. The Blades, 1-3. They were the top team rank in the top-ranked team in the dub, if you recall, going into the year.
Surprising to who?
Not this Blades
guy.
Fans.
Okay.
That is the morning update, sports update, compiled by Connor the intern and brought to you by Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. So we welcome to the bunker here today the sports doctor out of Winnipeg, Guy Fieri lookalike, Dave Patrician, and the Duke, Derek Myers. It never gets old. Never gets old, does it?
I ate at your restaurant in Vegas, by the way, last time I was there.
We're actually here as your protection. You know, you've been called out as a racist and the protesting going outside and
I know.
Throughout the city of Regina today. So
we do
need a little heaviness.
We do have security. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I just get over the hate in Winnipeg, and now they're all mad at me in Hamilton, but I can handle it. So the Grey Cup parade's canceled, Dave, for the Bombers?
Postponed.
Postponed. Oh, you're going to be a week later.
Well, I got to talk to you about, first of all, you talked about the Montreal Expos.
Yes.
Washington. So is the Calgary Flames the Atlanta Flames? So the Heritage Classic, is that going to be the Battle of Atlanta with the Winnipeg Jets being the former Atlanta Thrashers? Where right. do you stop this nonsense?
Battle of Atlanta.
There's no lineage to Montreal anymore, other than that's where the franchise started. There's no scouts. There's no presidents. There's no fans.
That's a good point.
Some of the fans stuck around. Ian Hamilton being a devout ex. Expos guy.
He won.
Yeah. Okay. I shouldn't say fans. It should be fans with no S. No
you
plural.
Know, on YouTube the other day, they had the mascot. There was a little documentary. It was actually done.
Yuppie.
On Yuppie.
I saw
and it was
that
funny
too,
when he got kicked out of the Dodgers game. Like, was that going towards the playoffs or was that a playoff game? I'm not sure.
It's a long
context,
time ago.
But it was kind of funny. The only mascot to ever get tossed out of the game for jumping on it was Tommy Lasorda's dugout.
Well, and then our gainer, he's been neutered.
Was
but that's Yuppie, another story.
Was Yuppie the grandfather to Gritty from the Flyers?
Because pretty much. Looks like
I was from a road trip to Philly.
Okay.
And moving on. Stop changing the subject.
Parade canceled.
What's the mood in Winnipeg?
Not good.
I sense that.
Yeah, not good. You know, you lay a big egg against Montreal. You let the team come back from a comfortable lead, and you do not perform in the second half, and then you come out absolutely flat. Hamilton is a great football team. Not going to disrespect them at all. They had a good game plan. The quarterbacking is phenomenal. But, you know, you have an opportunity to come out after the second half once you figure it out and then do nothing. Just absolutely nothing. So, you know, in terms of being deserving to be there, you know, I don't think you're deserving to be there. Like, you know, notwithstanding a couple of tremendous victories, one in the Banjo Bowl, and you think everything's going great. You have the week off. You go into Montreal, lay an egg, and then you lay an egg at home. That's not good. That's not playoff football. That's not a playoff contending team.
Is this a case of with having Streveler in there, and I know he's just one guy, but teams are now seeing tape on him in full game situations as opposed to, you know, just bit plays, and they're starting to, you know, work their defense, especially the Hamilton game. They're starting to work their defense to defend this guy because he does bring a very unique skill set to the table. He is different to defend than Matt Nichols. Is this the case that now teams are seeing some film on a guy and going, this is how we're going to game plan for him? And is that contributing to maybe a little bit of spinning of the wheels here?
Well, I think you're right on. I mean, the skill set that Chris Trevor brings is a great running game. And you thought when Andrew Harris returned, you'd have a 1-2 punch.
Right.
And that was not the case, especially in the Hamilton game. I don't know what it is. I mean, I looked a few times, and I'm not what you would call a coach. I've never coached football, but there are a lot of times, and you know where I sit because I send you the pictures, there are a lot of times that I saw Kenny Lawler and Darvin Adams open right in front of me, and he just can't get the football to him. Mm. I don't know if it's the protection is not there for him.
Or he can't see it.
Or he just can't see it. He's going with the called play, and he's not looking for secondary or third guys or something like that. But that I thought one particular play in the third quarter really stuck out because I looked at it. I don't even think there was anybody near Kenny Lawler or Darvin Adams in this particular play. And I just sat there with my mouth open going, okay, there's something really wrong. I think Hamilton really locked on to that, and they knew how to pressure him, and they didn't even worry about our wide receivers.
Is it not odd? I was watching or reading some coverage in the last 12 hours out of Winnipeg that they are steadfastly sticking on the fact that they're not going to acquire a veteran quarterback, and it's because they're happy with what they have. For the reasons you just pointed out, I don't know why they are.
But really, you have to also think who's available.
Yeah, exactly.
There's really nobody available. You know, they Kevin Glenn apparently allegedly turned them down just like he did the Rough Riders.
In camp.
Yeah. In camp. But, I mean, you're going to come up to Winnipeg in October and November when it's snowing and cold. Travis Lule, isn't he happy and with an administrative job with the BC Lions right now? Like, really, there is nobody.
No.
There is not a soul. Everybody's already playing. And
no Darian Durant in Winnipeg? No, yeah. They're not.
But, you know, someone said, I don't remember who there was a quote. I was reading the paper today online, and I do not remember. Oh, it was the Winnipeg Blue Bombers general manager, Kyle Walters. They asked him about the injuries to the quarterback, and he said, I think it's a good thing. I think he should have worded that a little bit differently, but what he meant in the rest of the quote was, it's great for the developing quarterbacks to come up and get a chance. But his first quote was, what do you think of all the injuries, Bo? I think it's a good thing. That was the wrong thing to say. But what his point is taken, look at Fajardo. If Kolaris wouldn't have got out. But I noticed that when you talked about three plays in, you forgot to mention again your buddy.
Simone Lawrence.
The Thug.
Oh, I didn't forget it. Trust me, I was all over it yesterday.
Thug. And you said the first time you heard Thugs. First time I heard Thugs was on the show Batman because the Joker and his thugs. It's like, there's no racism in this one. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Don't go there.
But anyway, back to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I don't know. I you know, you have Buck Pierce as the quarterback coach, and he works very, very well with Paul LaPolice. But there's just something wrong right now. There's something wrong in terms of getting the ball. And everybody, the most popular player in Winnipeg is always the backup quarterback. So on Facebook today, it was like, well, when's McGuire going to get in? You know, let's try it one more time. We have a big test on Saturday right here in Regina. I can't see being another blowout like the Hamilton game was, because those guys came to play. We've split that series with Saskatchewan. This is a very important game. This is a playoff-like game on Saturday.
This pretty much determines a home playoff game,
absolutely.
I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you can't rise to the occasion, you can't game plan for this, you can't pull off a victory, you really don't deserve to be anywhere near the
So this is a playoff game then?
This is a playoff game in my mind.
Yeah.
I think this is a home gate game, because not only do you win and you get that game ahead, but you win the season series. Mm-hmm. So essentially, in all due respect, you're two games ahead. I don't see Edmonton, BC definitely, but I don't see Edmonton getting up into second or first. So the winner of this game on Saturday is jockeying with Calgary between first and second. But I really see it as a leg up for the team that wins to get that home playoff date. Whether that be first or second, that to be determined. But I just see that the gap gets wide between Winnipeg and Saskatchewan because of season series, because you're ahead basically a game and a half at that point. Mm-hmm. And that's big. I mean, as we know, these two fields, when you talk about IG or you talk about Mosaic, what a huge advantage in the playoffs to host that game, because these places both are extremely noisy. They're extremely difficult to come into and
it's
play.
Key.
So it isn't just your regular first week of October game. No. There is a ton on the line in this game for both teams.
Pausing for a moment to just take care of some business. On the Prairie Mobile text line, Drew and Rolo writes in and he says, don't forget to wish George Reed a happy 80th birthday today.
100%.
So happy birthday to the G unit, number 34. When the commissioner sends out a tweet wishing you a birthday, you know you're a big deal, which we all knew George was a big deal. But happy birthday, 34. Hope you're enjoying the show. Also, Sean writing in from Saskatoon, happy birthday to the GOAT. George
That's
Reed,
right.
Greatest of all time. They're having some fun with the Guy Fieri, or is it Guy Fieri? It's Guy Fieri, right? Look-alike here, the sports doctor. They want to know where your Bomber jersey is and if you've spilt barbecue sauce on it and it's in the laundry. You saw that?
Yeah. That's Craig Monroe.
Craig in Regina. Where's the Bomber jersey? I want to know, too.
This is an impromptu visit. I didn't have time. I have my Vikings gear in there because
I'd have taken it.
Oh boy!
Your team day today.
You're right. Hard.
I didn't get the memo.
Hard times right now with your quarterback situation with your team.
Don't even get me started on that one.
Like, no, we just got you started. Talk Vikings for a second.
Absolutely, the worst signing in the history of professional football has to be Kirk Cousins. Like, if you think about all the trades the Minnesota Vikings have made in the past, like Herschel Walker and maybe giving away the future for that and trade, and then this Kirk Cousins signing, like, nobody could believe it at the time. I was on the fence because when the Vikings signed Kirk Cousins, they also hired to be their new offensive coordinator, the former quarterback coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia and Washington have a big rivalry. They play each other a lot. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I thought maybe he saw something in Kirk Cousins that he thinks is coachable and will be a success. Not for the money they signed him on.
No.
And then to watch on Sunday Night Football, Teddy Bridgewater beat the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. He didn't dice up the Cowboys, but he beat them.
Beat the Dallas Cowboys. Teddy.
So you're saying he could still been in many?
Could have still been there.
Yeah.
He gave up on him a little too soon.
We all have a lot of friends who are Vikings fans. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, there is nothing more entertaining than going to Twitter during a Vikings game and listening to the sports doctor, Arash Madani, Peter Lubardius, all these good, solid Viking fans, and just downtrodden. Just downtrodden and just ripping the poor guy.
The Green Bay game was winnable. That was a very winnable game a couple of weeks back. And the Chicago Bears, again, not taking anything away from the Chicago Bears. They're a tremendous football team with a tremendous defense. But you got to get a first
down. They're a tremendous defense. I don't know about football,
too. Yeah. But, you know, they come in with the second string quarterback and carve up the Minnesota Vikings again. And we don't, because, you know, that's my team. But the Minnesota Vikings just couldn't do anything. And then that starts with your quarterback position. Like, you got to get a couple of first downs. And even Adam Thielen calls.
Zimmer.
The head coach, too. But Thielen, too. Good. But then they said there was some sort of little powwow, and they spoke together on this one. But you know, you have to be frustrated. You watch this as a fan. You watch this, you know, from Chicago, and you're like, okay, there's a chance. You know, anything can happen in any given Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Not anymore.
Now, moving on. Rosemary writes in this morning. She says, finally, I have a chance to watch your show, Rod Peterson, and two green hearts.
How'd she do that?
So let's talk about
green.
Check your emojis. I use them all the time.
Green hearts?
I use green hearts, blue hearts, red hearts, orange hearts. Yeah. Depends if it's Oilers
or
Blades.
Full of love.
But yeah. Because you're a racist, not the black
heart. That's right. No, I haven't done a lot of black hearts because I don't have a black heart.
No, that's racist.
You hear these guys laughing? Shut up back there! Yeah. The operations room over here. To the riders, because somebody, Wayne in Victoria, wrote in earlier and asked what we think. And you can jump in if you want, Sports Talk. But for you, Duke, what the riders are doing with Jordan Williams-Lambert. It's interesting. So they're inserting him for this Saturday's game against Winnipeg. They're taking out Manny Arsenault despite his 55-yard touchdown. It looked pretty good against the Argos the other day. The way Dickinson explained it is they had a plan. It sounds to me very much like they're doing this to be fair to everybody. And that's good. He said Manny Arsenault took it what did he say? He's a vet. He's a pro. Yeah, he took it like a pro. So he's going to sit down, even though there's no reason really for him to sit down. They're inserting Jordan Williams-Lambert. Does it make them a better team? Probably. And I guess that's why they're doing it.
I like the move. One, you've got depth. Mm-hmm. And keeping a guy on the practice roster isn't keeping him fresh. A guy that I think, can all agree is more than CFL capable. I mean, he was the West Rookie of the Year last year. So you got to get him in. You didn't bring him back here to work out on the practice roster. You know you have a professional in Manny Arsenault who was just happy to be, you know, playing this year at the start of the year, that somebody picked him up. Yes, he's had an okay season. He had a really nice game last game, but that shouldn't trump everything. So I do like getting Williams-Lambert in there for that reason. The other reason I really like this move is you announce it early in the week, and now you give Richie Hall and the Bombers defense something else to think about, something that they've got to go back a year to look at of the film. You've got another guy in there. I mean, it's not just a regular week of preparation for that defense on the Winnipeg side, and you're not trying to keep it a secret, so they would have just went about their business as normal. Now there's a new wrinkle in there, something else they have to think about on the Bombers side of things. So now you're playing the little cat and mouse game that I really like as well, because again, we just talked about this, how important this game is. Give them something else to think about. You need every edge you can in a game like this, because I don't know what the point spread is, but I'm pretty sure we feel like this is a coin toss game right now. Give them something else to think about on that defensive side of the ball, which is the strength of the Bombers defense or of their team. Make them think a little bit, you know, and I think that's what this will do. Saying early on in the week, nope, we're putting in this guy. Get ready for him. Go ahead and game plan for him.
I do like that.
I like that move.
Not the trickery.
Right? No,
we're going to go down to a game time decision.
Because if you waited till a game time decision, I think Hall and his defense would have just went ahead and planned like they have for the first, you know, 13 weeks or 14 weeks of the season. You know, this is what we got. This is what we got to look at. But now it's like, now you know you got this guy out there. Now you got a game plan for him.
Is it sit him down or not dress him?
Not putting him in the lineup.
That's Arsenal to suck it up and say that's okay. That's a pretty big move, though, too.
For sure.
Like, nobody wants to watch this game from the press box or the stand. Oh, they don't do that in football. They put a sweatshirt on and
stand on the sidelines. Yes.
But he also knows he's one injury.
Yep.
And a big part. And yeah. For a veteran guy,
yeah.
Taking a game off.
Well, yeah. Someone,
it's not the worst thing.
Anthony Bosch said that
fresh
leave him off the roster, rest him up for the playoffs. So,
well, it's funny, too, by the way. Today, the CFL named their Players of the Month for September, and I didn't remember. Well, Dane Evans was one. Charleston Hughes was another. And I thought, what does that say for Charleston, who missed a game because of load management in September and was still named one of the Players of the Month in the CFL? So I got to give kudos to Charleston this morning, and also a thank you because he had some nice, very nice words for me personally on Twitter yesterday. So kudos, Charleston, for being named CFL Player of the Week. But back to the Bombers for a second, and it's funny when you say home field in a playoff game between these two teams, Winnipeg and Saskatchewan, so huge, which I would agree with. But Winnipeg came in here last year and won. It could have probably been louder. It was a cold day. Mm-hmm. And yes, Brandon Bridge was a quarterback for the Rough Riders, and he's currently out of football. Yeah. But I just want to talk about the heat that's on the Bombers, Richie Hall, the defensive coordinator. I saw Bob Irving. Bob has taken to, more than ever, defending his team on Twitter. You've noticed. Yes. You're a Twitter guy.
Yep.
And the latest defense is of Richie Hall. And for those that don't know, Bob said, well, this guy won two Grey Cups in Saskatchewan with his defense, 07 and 2013, which I've been arguing for years against the Bomber fans. But where, you're a football guy. Where do you stand on the defense they're employing? And what's the Bomber faithful saying about it?
You know, we talked about this, I think, when I was on the show with Chris Walby, and they talked about the bend, don't break defense. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers, in my opinion, sitting there in the stands, watching on television, they give up way too much yards to the pass. There is just something wrong. Yeah, they can stop the run. Absolutely, they figured that out. But they're just giving up too many yards, too many first downs. You watched how many yards did Evans throw for in the first half on Friday night? Like 350?
I don't know. I was at the Pats game.
See, love, your loyalty to the Winnipeg football team is just acknowledged.
Right. I've on record as saying I want them to win the Grey Cup this year.
So then how can you call out your buddy so much from the Hamilton Ticats?
Who's Simone Lawrence?
Watch the game.
That's a different thing. Continue.
Watch the game. Anyway, I think it's time for change. That's my opinion. I think something's not working. I don't know what it is. You watched the second half of the Montreal game. You watched the entire Hamilton game. There's something wrong. And if changes aren't made, and if the Winnipeg Blue Bombers don't advance at least to the Grey Cup, they have to have some full-scale changes. And it starts at our head coach, too. I mean, I sat in something called Chalk Talk three, four days before the game in Montreal. And, you know, Michael Shea's charming. Michael Shea's
he's very
knowledgeable.
Impressive he's, individual.
And I tell you what, like he knows football. And but there's something wrong. He showed these plays that he swore everyone to secrecy, and how he could stop a couple of situations. And I saw nothing like that in the Montreal game. And I know everything's different. And you're basically Winnipeg had the week off, and they're looking at old tapes from Montreal. And Montreal could be looking at those same tapes, finding the mistakes, and making changes. But you got no confidence in that when you gave up that late touchdown in the second half of Montreal, and then Montreal came back to win, and that's on the coaches. Like, you do not take your foot off the gas. You keep your guys motivated. You keep calling. You have 31 at halftime. You want 62. You want to run up that score as much as you can. Maybe not in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. Then you can take the foot off the gas if you're ahead by 30. But don't do that. And then we got nothing. They had nothing going on Friday night against the Hamilton Ticats.
That's the thing. The Bombers are learning.
They are still tied for first, though, are they not?
No.
Well, three-way.
Oh, wow.
Same records. But
whatever. They got as many wins.
More loss.
Well, yeah. They got as many wins as anybody
right
now.
The Bombers need to realize about putting a foot on somebody's throat and leaving it there for 60 minutes. Not taking your foot off with 5 minutes.
Sure.
No. Not even in a Grey Cup game.
The sky is not falling.
And by the way, on the Simone Lawrence thing.
You don't have confidence, though. Sky's not falling.
They believe it is falling. But we need a break, right, Clark? And more or less, he says, yes. That's how we work it here. Loosey-goosey. But on the Simone Lawrence thing, I wasn't even upset at him for anything to do in that Winnipeg game. He had 17 tackles, for goodness sake. It was the week before when he went after Logan Kilgore's head, and in week one, Zach Calero. So what set me off yesterday was that he's player of the week,
yep,
and he should be suspended for the rest of the year based on his actions. That's all that I was saying on that. We'll continue this and more. By the way, join the party. Perry Mobile text line 306-840-8777 and also the Facebook wall. Checking your watch, David. Where you got to go? You got a flight?
No, I'm getting texts and stuff, though. People are watching.
Of course they are. Hello, Winnipeg. Oh, is he leaving now?
I'm out.
Hey.
I read that. Dave's out.
Dave, say bye. Clark, say bye. What else?
What did you get a teleprompter?
I'm the robot. I've had it here all along. Trust me.
Professional.
Yeah,
I thought this was off the top of your head.
Shh.
Clark. I don't want to say goodbye.
Thanks, Guy.
Thanks.
See you in Vegas. We'll be back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Wednesday morning, episode 86. Although we do have a lot of evening viewers, as we've learned. Not only our number 86 is celebrated today in the form of Heinz Ward and Wojtek Wolski, nobody else has given me another 86. Has nobody worthwhile in Ryder Bomber Stamp History worn 86?
I think we've had some decent 86s.
Where's all the CFL fans at?
I'm looking.
They don't give you the media guides anymore. You got to go online and print them.
Don't even get me started.
I like the old media guide. Woodsy had boxes and boxes and boxes of media guides. Like, I'm talking 1991 WHL media guide. I love just leafing through those things.
Speaking of Warren Woods, by the way, we crisis averted last night. I got to say this.
Uh-oh. Can we tell this story?
Yeah, I think so. Why not? Who's going to stop us?
I think he's our friend and he's...
Last night we're at our first indoor slow pitch Great Western League at Ballers. Right. And all of a sudden I'm on my phone and I see Warren Woods is going live on Facebook. Have you seen this?
No.
And he is ruffling around. You could hear it was dark as night, but not black. He was like in his, you know what I mean? He was filming something.
Yeah.
You could hear this rustling.
Did he like pocket dial himself?
It was the world's first pocket Facebook live broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, guys, come here. Come here. Look at this. And the viewers are growing and we're commenting. And I put a popcorn emoji on there. And some guy wrote in and goes, Rod, I'm on my second bucket. Alec Docking, the great Alec Docking, CTV anchor, is like, what some people will do to get on the air. And I'm like, no, what's going to happen next? And then he pulls it out, and then he's got it on his couch, and he's looking at it. He doesn't know he's broadcasting live.
But he couldn't figure out how to shut it off. And you just saw him puzzled, and he's like big buttons, big fingers trying to press the buttons.
This was my life for over 5 years.
And I just
heavy
remember
breathing. I'm like, no, don't. Stop. Put it away.
The first ever pocket broadcast. Pocket broadcast. That's funny.
The first pocket dial Facebook Live. We got people coming in here with some 86s.
His heart.
Thank you. Well, it's God bless Woodsy, of course.
So the one I wonder about. And
we got a few here.
I'm trying to look.
Nathan Hoffert from the 07 Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Oh, okay.
Pee-wee Smith from the 1991 Calgary Stampeders. He was the West Final hero. So
Kucherov.
Yeah. Nikita Kucherov. How did we miss that one?
How did we miss that?
That's from the WHL Pats cast, guys, from the unofficial Regina Pats podcast.
What number was Mark Boelrichter? Why do 89. I think he's 86? Okay, 89. I don't know why.
Where the Stamps
86.
Fans at? I'm pretty sure Boelrichter was 89. As a matter of fact, I know he was, because him and Vince Danielson were just eviscerating the Rough Riders for years. And I'm trying to call the difference between the two. And it was very hard to tell the difference between Mark Boelrichter and Vince Danielson, because they're two big white receivers, 188, 189. They're virtually impossible to tell apart from the broadcast booth, and clearly for the Rough Riders defenders as well.
Yeah.
Heinz.
We had that off the
top. We had him. He was Artemi Panarin. Thank you.
The bread man.
Who would have thought 86 would have been the hockey number with Panarin, Kucherov, and Wojtek Wolski?
All of a sudden, it's a veritable striking gold here, and Jeb's a millionaire.
When I think 86, all I think about is Steve Smith scoring on himself. That's the number.
The year 1986.
It's just emblazoned in my head.
Burned in our brains, yeah. We are taking Stanley Cup Finals predictions, because it is opening night. Happy opening night, everybody, in the National Hockey League. There are four games. Sens at the Leafs. Capitals at the Blues, Canucks at the Oilers, and San Jose at Vegas. That's not a lot of games for opening night. It's good, though, because you can concentrate on those four. I asked the sports doctor his Stanley Cup final participants prediction. He's got the St. Louis Blues and the Washington Capitals. That from the sports doctor, who's not even taking his own hometown Winnipeg Jets.
You don't take your own team,
You don't
right?
take your own team, yeah.
The coaching change, certainly.
Yeah.
You don't take your own team.
The Athletic, the poll that came out this morning in The Athletic said they predict that the coach to be fired first in the NHL is one Paul Maurice.
Well,
just down the old Trans-Canada Highway from us in Winnipeg.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that happens, right? I mean, expectations when they're high, and when you're in that window, and when the window closes, then all of a sudden you need a fresh face. And Paul Maurice, one of those guys who I know he's I love him. I love him with the media. I love him with what he says in public. He seems to be a guy that players like. But a lot of these guys who come in and have success right away, they've got a short shelf life. Right, the message doesn't last that long. It's hard to get longevity as a coach, because you come in and you really put pressure on the players to perform and to try and get them on track. But it's exhausting, and the players don't want to do that maybe for 5-10 years at a time. It's the Babcock thing too, right? I mean, you got to win in your window, and then you got to reset, send your message somewhere else. I think that's just the shelf life of these guys.
It's hilarious, by the way, and I should tee up hour two. It'll be probably 100% football, as Addie Richards is here. He's joined us here in the bunker, CFL alum, Rams alum, and I think the sports doctor's sticking around to talk football with us. So maybe if we go hockey the rest of the way here, that's cool with everybody. But in all these predictions, and by the way, you can wipe your butt with them. You understand that, right? None of them mean anything. But it's just funny. I don't see the Leafs picked by many to win the Eastern Conference, and I thought this was supposed to be their year. As a matter of fact, Mike Babcock voted the fourth most likely coach to be fired first. For those that missed off the top of the show, Paul Maurice in Winnipeg, Bruce Boudreau in Minnie, Jeff Blashill in Detroit, and then Babs, who was kind of a rude jerk to Christine Simpson in the interview yesterday about the captaincy. Like, I think that the Heat's getting to Babs already, and they haven't even played a game yet this year.
It's tough.
Have you seen the interview?
No, I didn't see
it. It was about
one.
The captaincy. I believe you said, well, that's a boring question.
It is a boring question. Who cares?
Have some class.
Seriously, do these guys who have played hockey since the time they could walk, who are getting paid millions, do they seriously still need... Is their ego so fragile that they need somebody to put a letter on their jersey?
It's not about the players. It's not about that.
Contribute?
Mike Babcock, you should get this. A one-on-one with Christine Simpson, who's nothing but class, has been a first class. She is like Sportsnet Sarah Orlesky. And her network's paying $5.2 billion for the rights to broadcast your games and pay your damn salary. Last I looked with Babcock, what is it, $6.25 million?
It's enough.
Answer the damn question. But don't be smarmy about it.
Why do we need the question is my point. Yeah,
because it's what everybody's talking about.
Who cares?
It shouldn't be. I agree. The captaincy of the Leafs is the dumbest topic ever. They haven't even had one since 2016.
Captain,
answer the damn question from Christine.
A captain in any line of professional sports is the most ridiculous conversation ever.
No.
Oh, Roberto Luongo's the captain. Why do you need a captain? Are you not a professional enough that you need to look up to somebody and go, gee, there's Austin. He's our best player. We better work as hard as him.
Duke.
No, you just follow.
You need a guy to organize parties.
You do. It's not about that either.
What's it about?
No, it's one of the things that's kind of going in the wrong direction with the game right now. We're so big on the numbers and the stats and do you need this and do you need that? It's about the history of the game. It's about celebrating, you know, the guys who are your leaders. And we need people to step up and be a leader. Somebody that when everything's against the wall, you got somebody to turn to and be like, hey, where are we going? And a guy who can deliver that message in the locker
room. Does he need his jersey?
No, you don't need a letter to say that.
Exactly.
But it's been a part of the game for 100 years. Like, let's stop forgetting about what happened in this game and made us fall in love with it as kids. We're turning it into such a business that it's not going to be here in 50 years for us to watch anymore.
The shootout wasn't part of the history of the game. That changed the game, and everybody seems to love the shootout.
Okay, but it's not black and white, Duke, right? Everything wants to be black and white, right? We're allowed to live in different places.
Exactly. So you can live in the gray area where you don't have a captain.
Right, but what's the point? Just because we don't need one and you want to be better about it? No. Right? We can still celebrate that and enjoy these parts of the game, and we can add fun things like the shootout or not. But just to get rid of it because it seems obsolete and it doesn't really matter in the locker room, no, it matters a lot. It matters to the fan base. It matters to the kids who have somebody to look up to.
My point is this is not a scrum at the Leafs MasterCard Arena in front of 37 reporters.
Right.
This is Christine Simpson in a one-on-one with the rights holder whose network's paid $5.2 billion for the right to ask these questions. You should know better.
But,
to sit there with that smarmy look, you should know better. And if you work for the network, you'd probably agree with me.
I wouldn't have asked the question. I wouldn't have even, because it is, to me, it is, there's so many other things that are important. Like, maybe, how the hell are you going to beat Boston this year? That might be a more relevant question than
how are you going to win with average goaltending?
Then who's taking their jersey to Auntie May to get some stitching put on it?
Right.
Get out of here.
But it's a problem when we're so worried about, like, the focus is all about the name on the front. And I know that's in the locker room, and that's something that we've seen in movies, and it's all about the name on the front more than the name on the back. And that's so true when it comes to a team in that locker room. But when it comes to the game, we've stopped celebrating the stars a little bit. And we've stopped worrying about what name is on the back of the jersey because with the salary cap and with free agency and now with the agents being more involved, players just come and go wherever they want. And it's less about the players and it's more about the team name. And as kids, I fell in love with the team, but it's because of the players. And it's because I knew everybody's stats and I knew everybody's names. We need to celebrate the players a little bit more and market the players to the kids.
You think the C actually does that?
But
yes.
John, no. Well,
look at the history of the Canucks. You look at their picture they put out.
Who the hell?
Who's going to be the next captain? And you look at the Sedins, and you look at Linden, and you look at Naslin, and you go through the history of the game. Instead of that, we stop remembering who these guys were and who they played for.
Recollection of being an NHL fan are two things. One, watching Hockey Night in Canada with my dad on a Saturday night and my two older brothers. That's what I remember. And the other was post-cereal with the cards in the box.
Yeah.
So we were eating cereal like madmen to get the hockey cards out of it. And it was, I would always get Wilf Paymont and Ian Turnbull. And it's like, you wonder why I'm not a Leaf fan. These guys are awful.
Right.
Keep working. We're working on Paul Hendrick. Keep going, he says. But I'm not done yet.
Oh, sorry.
The romantic nature of how I fell in love with the NHL and the romantic nature that we all fell in love with the NHL is gone. It's gone. You need to get over it.
I agree.
Tavares sure. and his jammies, they're making fun of him with that. Sure, the kids can love their team and get the jammies and have the bedspreads. They're not buying the tickets. They're not able to go to the games. So the greed's ruined it. And you know what? That's kind of your precious little players.
It is.
Mitch Marner, $11.2 million holding out for that.
I agree. But you just mentioned, right? Yeah, the kids can fall in love with the guy in the jammies and can, you know, dream of these things. And, you know, probably a lot of kids wearing their Leafs jammies going to bed. But you're saying they're not the ones buying the tickets and spending the money. And that's the short-sightedness of some of the marketing experts now when you need the money now. We need to be more patient in the game. And I know we got Paul Hendrick waiting here, so I'll get this quick. We got to be more patient because those kids,
there's no patience,
if they
buddy.
Don't fall
no,
in love with the game,
that's gone.
If we don't let the kids fall in love with the game, they're not going to be adults who are spending money. So you'll get the money now, but you won't get the money later.
The
C means that we can all enjoy it in different ways. So just because you don't like it doesn't mean other people don't like it. Right?
Right.
Don't see the point.
Let's go to Toronto now on opening night, and we appreciate Paul Hendrick joining us from Leafs TV. Paul, thanks for the time. Looks like he's right in the arena there. How are you, my friend?
Great. We're all optimistic about tonight. Interesting conversation you guys are having. About 5 or 6 years ago, we were at a school visit with a bunch of NHL players, and one of our chief economic officers, David Hopkinson, was looking into the stands, at least the gymnasium, and there wasn't one Leaf jersey there. It was all Ovechkin, it was all Crosby, and the Maple Leafs were in a state of flux, obviously, that they weren't competitive, and I said, give it time. Well, anyway, now they're all wearing Marner jerseys, they're all wearing Matthews jerseys and Tavares jerseys, and I know a lot of those kids can't necessarily get in here, but by way of whether it be social media, television, or whatnot, are all able to participate. And Hoppy, David Hopkinson, is now in charge of global branding for the Real Madrid soccer team. So things have certainly evolved over the years. It's a tough ticket, though, to get into this building here tonight. There's a lot of excitement around Toronto about this hockey club and the potential that might lie ahead for it.
Well, I can't even imagine the excitement because you got Ottawa on there and you should curb stomp them. I see they're already and they're talking about failing for the number one overall pick and they haven't even played a game yet tonight. So what's your take on the matchup tonight, Paul?
Well, historically, Ottawa, Rod, they play Toronto hard. Not even two preseason wins against Toronto. They beat them 3 or 4 times last year and none of those were a fluke. This is an Ottawa team that's going to mirror their effervescent head coach and DJ Smith. If anybody knows anything about the Maple Leafs, it's DJ, and this is a proud Ottawa group. So at least head-to-head against Toronto, and specifically on opening night, Toronto will have all it can handle against this Ottawa team. But I'm sure over the course of 82 games, depending on injuries and everything else, you may see Ottawa at the lower end of the conference. That's just the way it is. They've got some outstanding young pieces, but I know tonight it's likely going to end up a one-goal game.
Yeah, it always does between those two, for sure, Paul. With the Leafs, we just heard, you know, Jason Spezza is not going to play tonight, but should be back in Friday. Where does the veteran fall into this game and this Leafs lineup in terms of, you know, what he's going to bring and how much we're going to see him over the season?
Well, Jason's presence here, it's an interesting thing. I mean, the second day of camp out in St. John's, Newfoundland 2 weeks ago, Mike Babcock literally came right out and said, we're still trying to find where he fits in. And so maybe this is a work in progress as far as Jason in his role as a former elite player, but now as a fourth line player in this team as to how he's going to fit in. And Mike even said so this morning, he's got to continue to work on his ability to kill penalties. That's going to separate him from the rest. And if you're going to play in that fourth line, you've got to be able to kill penalties. I know a source of concern for the Leafs is defensive zone draws on the right side. They were well below 50% last year. It really was a factor in that Game 6 loss to Boston right here in Toronto, where the Leafs had a chance to eliminate the Bruins. Didn't. Boston's power play took over. And so they want to be better on draws. Spezza can bring that, but he's got to bring a knack for killing penalties. And they talked about getting more reps in that regard. So at least for tonight, he's going to sit out. But he's going to get back in The lights are just out here, but he's going to get back into Columbus.
You look fine, Paul.
Like the mood lighting. But anyway, he's going to get a chance, and they're going to rotate a few of those players and then the fourth line. But at $700,000, they're back on again, at $700,000 per season, he may be a movable part. But there's a degree of respect that has to go toward a player, Jason Spezza's ilk. I think he'll find a way. What he does bring to that fourth line is an ability to score. We've watched him in practice. Those hands have not been lost.
Looks like you're part of the pregame show there already. The one thing I want to ask is how much pressure is on the Leafs now that the Raptors have won a title? I mean, this Leafs team, people have been talking, this is the core, this is the group, they got everybody signed. You know, Nylander's there, Marner, everything's on board, everything's lined up, and the Raptors go ahead and win a world championship. How much pressure is there, you know, from the outside, from the fan base, to expect it's all or nothing?
Yeah. There's pressure. Now, four seasons ago when they made the playoffs, there was no expectations. In fact, they weren't expected to make the postseason that year. But then, exponentially, the expectations started to increase. Not only does the fan base and the group here expect to make the playoffs, they know they've got to win a round and then maybe go from there, but at least that round. But this hockey club, let's be honest, I think it's one of 8 to 10 clubs with the potential to win a Stanley Cup. It's my 25th year with the hockey club. I have never seen elite talent, especially on the top two lines that we have here. We've had good talent here, Hall of Fame talent in that 92-93 Leaf team, but not to the elite level that we're seeing with this team on those top two lines. And defensively, they're a pretty good group as well. I think that might change as the season progresses, but it's a very mobile group. And then the balance we talked about, where Jason Spezza is a healthy scratch here tonight. I like lines 1, 2, and 3, and still with what that fourth line brings as well. But the expectations are high, but this group is comfortable with that. They've been around it, especially that elite young group. This is their fourth season in the National Hockey League. I think a William Nylander is going to have a great year, and providing they're able to stay healthy, that's the clue. If able to stay healthy, they're going to be a contender.
Well, 1 of 82 tonight. That's a hell of a preview. Paul, thank you for this. I know you're a busy guy. Enjoy the game. We'll all be watching, and we'll chat with you down the road. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry about the backdrop here. We'll do better next time.
No, we like it. We like it. Paul Hendrick from Leafs TV, right from Scotiabank Arena. I thought it looked pretty cool.
That's
what
awesome.
Was going on.
No, I love it. It makes me feel like I'm in the building.
Right. What other show's got that?
Ready for tonight.
What do they call the guitar check? Sound check. Sound check.
Yeah.
Sound check in the background.
They do.
Taking
Paul, get
the
down
scenes.
Here and sing the anthem.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to bring in Addison Richards for hour two, former Bomber and Ram, because it was like it's Addison Richards bobblehead day today. You guys were talking about leadership, and Addie was just going like this on the couch over there. And I think we're going to bring back the sports doctor too, right, Doc? All coming up in hour two. It's the Rod. I guess we'll let you go, Duke.
Sure, that's fine.
I got some gift certificates for you. I'm going to rifle the eye.
As a matter of fact. This is fantastic. It gets
Industrial
better and better.
Cafe, Perkin Taps, which, by the way, if anybody touches that pumpkin flavored scone in there, they're dead.
I didn't yet.
Hands off.
Okay.
Did you eat it?
Yep.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Sports doctor.
Well, you're welcome. You're a guest in my house. You can have it. As for the rest of you jabronis,
hey, I take offense to that word.
Oh, yeah.
It's in college. You put the leftovers in the thing.
It's gone.
There's 6,250 grains of rice in here. Do not touch.
Don't touch one. Yeah. We'll be back with hour two. It's the Rod Peterson Show on this Wednesday on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale
of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.